Living Hope Assembly of God.
If you'll stand one more time, guys, and we're going to read God's word. I'm not going to hold you very long today. So we're going to hit something really hard today that I want you guys to get, and then we'll move on. Amen. While at Minister's Retreat, I was praying about what I felt like God wanted me to say to you guys. And for the next several weeks, we're going to talk about these three things. Envision, invite, and invest. Envision, invite, and invest. And the overarching title of what we're going to be talking about is that take the initiative. Envision, invite, and invest. 2018, I believe, is going to be a great year for Living Hope. If we take the initiative to envision, to invite, and to invest. Did you hear me? I said 2018 is going to be a good year for Living Hope if we take the initiative to envision, to invite, and to invest. In other words, if we become the church, if we do what God has truly called us to do, if we take the initiative to envision, invite, and invest. As I reflect over the last year, we have experienced some success as a church. We have seen several people born into the kingdom of God. We have baptized many of them. We have added several new faces to the membership, and we have preached in jail and all around on different occasions. We have done a lot of great things in 2017, but I believe that 2018 is going to be a whole lot better and different than 2017. We learned a lot, we grew a lot, and now we have to do much more than what we did last year in order to see the kingdom of God come in this city. I believe what God did in us and through us as a church is only the tip of the iceberg in comparison to what he really desires to do as a whole. And today, I don't want just to challenge you. I'm challenging you corporately as a church, but I want you to challenge yourself individually as a person, as being a good steward of what God has entrusted us with. I'm a firm believer, though, in order to get this done, the saying is that the early bird is the one that gets the worm. And so if we want to reap a harvest of souls this year, we have to take advantage of what God has entrusted us with. We have to wake up early spiritually, and we have to go to bed late spiritually. That means that there's going to come a time that your prayer life has to get a little more intense than it was before. That means that you're doing and you're going is going to be more than it was before. We're not going to slow down. We're going to have to speed up. How many of you know it seems like we are in a day and time where time has sped up? It seems like things are happening so fast. And I believe that God is soon to come back. And I don't want anyone lost and not knowing him. So we as the church need to get in a hurry. We as the church needs to stop having church as usual and start being kingdom minded instead of being so earthly minded. And when we start to be kingdom minded, we'll start to see things in the spirit. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? If you have your Bible at Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, verse 2. I'm going to read a verse. And this is what it says. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. Father, be glorified today, Lord Jesus. Have your way in this place. Speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God. We have to take the initiative first. We have to, guys. We have to take the initiative. We have to envision. We have to invite. And we have to invest. In order to get anything done in the kingdom of God, we have to take the initiative. We can't keep sitting on the pews. We can't keep sitting on our hands. We can't keep having church as usual. We can't keep expecting someone else to do what God has called us to do. We have to stand up and be everything that God desires for us to be. Amen? There are a few things that I want you to note in the text. Listen, I don't want this to be your typical sermon. This is, I want to preach today as if every single one of you guys are a part of my leadership team, okay? Because in reality, we all really are. We are all one big team in the kingdom of God. Not one of you are here just to listen. Every single one of us here are here to listen, to receive, and to apply. Did you hear what I said? In every single one of us, we have purpose, at least in the heart of God, at least in God's desires, in God's plan. He desires that every one of us fulfill the purpose of the Great Commission. If I don't preach anything else, I'm going to preach the Great Commission. I'm going to preach that not only did Jesus save, deliver, and set us free, but Jesus commanded that we go out and make like kind. In the church world today, man, we have become very relaxed in a lot of ways. We're doing church really well. We're doing church really well. Today, all around, people are putting on shows really well. Can I get an amen? Can I preach to a live church today? Amen. Listen, it's only a show if we don't participate in what we have heard. There are pastors right now and leaders that go to seminary that are not called by God. And they know how to stand behind the sacred desk and orate really well, much better than myself. And they can draw large crowds of 25 and 30,000 people. And week after week, they do the same thing over and over again, and the devil's okay with it. Because many of them are not going any further than the pew. From the pew to their home on the sofa to watch their favorite shows and their favorite things that they like to do. And many of them are not changing internally. They're keeping the same mindset. They're living the same lifestyle. They're doing the same thing. And next Sunday, they show up again to do the same things over and over again. But can I tell you today, that is not the church. Listen, the Word of God will challenge you. I'm going somewhere. The Word of God, before it gets you excited, I'm off my notes for a moment. I always want to make this statement. Before the Word of God gets us excited, it crushes you into fine powder. And then God takes that fine powder, he moistens it with his spirit, and he shapes you into who he desires for you to be. Man, the Word of God challenges you. The Word of God doesn't ever desires to keep us the same way, but it doesn't just work the outward side of a man, but the Word of God knows how to get down inside of the heart of the matter. and break up all of that stuff that has you congested spiritually so that it can transform your life. There are some things from our text that I want you to notice this morning. First, Christ wanted them to see that the harvest is great. The harvest is great. No question about that. And it alarms me that we are in a day and time that it doesn't alarm many of us. That the harvest is great. How can we walk around in this world and see a world, a person, an individual, a young man, a young woman, a mother, a child, a mom, a dad, a co-worker, whoever, listen, dying and on their way to hell, and it doesn't alarm us. It doesn't strike us as something that we need to take participation in changing. Notice Jesus had not yet sent them out, but he wanted them to see the harvest field before they entered the harvest field. You got to see it before you can enter it. Do you hear what I'm saying? You got to get it inside of here that there is a harvest field. That there's a harvest of people. The Bible says that hell has enlarged her mouth to receive all of those that are going there. Listen, can you see it? I want you to close your eyes. Just bear with me for a moment. Close your eyes. And I want you to picture a lake of fire. And I want you to picture thousands and millions of people going there like sheep that are led to a slaughter. And they're going to burn for eternity. Now open your eyes. Do you care? Do you care what you see? In other words, he wanted them to get a visual of what the harvest field would look like, but he also wanted them to see the faces of the people. In one passage of scripture, the crowd was pressing on Jesus, and they wanted, the disciples was thinking more or less, let's get them some more to eat. And Jesus looked past the physical need of these individuals, and he saw a spiritual need. He said that they are like sheep without a shepherd. He saw past the physical into the spiritual. He knew that if they could, in our text, he knew that if they could see the harvest, then they would become intimately involved with the harvest. If we would start putting our family members' faces in the harvest, it would cause us to want to be involved with the harvest. If we would be intentional about going up and introducing ourselves to our coworkers and the people out in the marketplace and the highways, I promise you, we would want to get involved in the harvest. It is so easy not to get involved in the harvest if we're doing church as usual. It is so easy to not get involved with the harvest when we can hide inside of large churches and not do anything. It is so easy to not get involved in the harvest if we just do church inside of the four walls of this building. The harvest is way bigger than what we see here on a Sunday morning. Thank God for you being here today. But this service here is designed for a celebration. And every now and then a lost soul comes and they get delivered and they get set free. But listen, this service is designed to pour into you so that you can go give it back to those people out there. Next, he challenges them to pray. Are you praying, church? It is the church's duty to pray earnestly and incessantly to God, the Lord of the harvest, for laborers whose hearts are broken, for the least, the last, and the lost in society. I believe that We need to pray that God will fully open our eyes for the harvest. Also, as much as he opens our eyes physically, he definitely needs to open our eyes spiritually. Leonard Keesler, a friend and disciple of Martin Luther, having been condemned by the bishop and his head shaved and being dressed in a smock frock, was placed on horseback as the executioners were cursing and swearing because they could not disentangle the ropes with which his limbs were to be tied. Pardon me. He said to them mildly, "Dear friends, your bonds are not necessary. My Lord has already bound me." When he drew near the stake, Keesler looked at the crowd and exclaimed, "Behold the harvest. O Master, send forth thy laborers." "What am I, a wordy preacher?" said Luther. He said, "Oh Lord," as he saw the crowd and his executioners were about to take his life, he looked at the crowd and said, "Oh Lord, send forth laborers into the harvest." And then his last words were, "Oh Jesus, save me." Martin Luther was baffled by that. "What am I, a wordy preacher?" Because at the end of the day, that should be our prayer. That should be our desire. That God would send forth laborers. And that Jesus would save all of us and set us free from a devil's hell. To envision means to imagine or expect that something is likely to happen or is a desirable possibility. This week we're talking about envision. What does it mean to envision for your life, your ministry, and your church? I want to ask you a question. Do you ever dream about making a difference? When you wake up in the morning, the devil should be afraid. He should be afraid that you have opened your eyes again and have another opportunity to share the goodness of Jesus Christ. Joseph Campbell once said, "A dream is a creative vision for your life in the future. A goal is what specifically you intend to make happen. Dreams and goals should be just out of your present reach, but not out of sight." Dreams and goals are coming attractions in your life. I want you to get in your mind this morning. Bear with me. I want you to picture what a blueprint is. Everybody knows what a blueprint is, right? Raise your hand if you know what a blueprint is. Amen. And I also want you to picture in your mind over here a blueprint and the finished product. So a blueprint of a house and a blueprint of the finished product. Stephen Covey says this: "All things are created twice. There is a mental first creation and a physical creation second. The physical creation follows the mental, just as a building follows a blueprint. If you don't make a conscious effort to visualize who you are and what you want in life, then you empower other people and circumstances to shape you and your life by default." I'm going somewhere. To envision something is to take ownership of the thing that you are visualizing in your mind. No one can stop you from envisioning something in your mind. No one can stop you from dreaming. No one can stop you from desiring. The only one that can stop you from doing any of those things is you. No one can stop you from having a mental image of what you think success is for your life. Joseph's brothers knew all too well of this fact. They knew that the only way to stop the dreamer was to kill the dreamer. You can't tell everybody your dreams, amen? Not everybody understands your dreams. Not everybody wants to invest in your dreams. So you have to be careful about who you allow to hear your dream. Because when they hear your dreams, most people are going to wage an opinion about what you said. And they're going to give you an estimation of what they think the dream really should mean. Amen? So we have to be careful about who we allow to hear our dream. Not everyone see those things the way that you see them. And because they don't see the things the way that you see them, their dictation might cause an alteration in the plans of God for your life. So you can't allow any and everybody. So be careful who you allow to hear your dreams. You have a call of God on your life. You want to do something great for God in your life. You need to make sure that you align yourself with like-minded people, people who are going to push you into what you're trying to be in your life. People who are going to challenge you, but not people who are going to say, no, you're not qualified. You might need to do something different. You might need to go a different route. If God places a dream in your heart, God is going to bring that very thing to fruition. Don't allow anyone to opinionate what the blueprint should look like if they are not qualified to, or if they're not going to live in the house. Did you hear what I said? Don't allow, if me and my wife are going to build a house, we have blueprints in my home. If I'm going to build a house and I have blueprints, why would I go and ask you your opinion? If you're not going to live in the house, the same way, why would you ask someone who's not like-minded about what God is doing in your life? If they don't understand what God is doing in your life, if they're not even on the same track, if they're unequally yoked spiritually with you, why would you go and ask that individual? Because they're going to tell you the polar opposite of what you need to hear. If you're wanting more of God, listen, I believe that every single one of us that are here this morning, we're here because God brought us here. I believe we're here because you study, if you have looked and researched this church, you know that this is a church that desires the spiritual things of God. You know that we believe in operating in spiritual gifts. You know all of these things. Why would you ask someone from a different organization that don't believe in those things about this church? I would ask people who are like-minded about spiritual things. Can I get an amen? I need you to understand today that between envision and your desire to get to where you're trying to get to, the blueprint is here. Let's change that to envision. And over here is your destination. But in between you getting there is this sea of unforeseen obstacles. Are you following me? You envision what you're trying to do right here, and in between there's a sea of unforeseen obstacles that's going to hinder you from getting, or at least try to hinder you from getting to the place that you should be in God, in life, in ministry, on your job, whatever. You could fill in the blank, whatever you're needing this morning, fill in the blank. Inside of that sea of unforeseen obstacles, maybe it's you inside of that sea. Joseph, for Joseph, it was the pit. It was the prison. It was slavery, slander, being slandered, being displaced from his father's house and all that he was accustomed to. It was the rejection from those he thought should have received him. Turn with me to Psalm 105. Sorry. Psalm 105, 18 through 20. This is Joseph. They hurt his feet with feathers. His neck was put in iron collar until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. The entire time Joseph had, from the time that he received the word of the Lord came and tested him. The words came back to test him. His brothers put him in prison. His life went through total hell and chaos. In the midst of all of that, in order to get to where God was trying to take him to. One writer said, a delayed blessing tests men and proves their mettle, whether their faith is of that precious kind which can endure the fire. Daniel, the thing was true. But the time appointed was long. Did you hear that? The thing that God said in his heart, thing that he knew was going to come to pass, was true because God said it. But the time for it to come to pass was long. So when God places something, when God gives you something, a dream, when you envision something and you know that it comes from God, you need to hold on to it. Listen, it would be my desire when I came here for the church to go from 20 to 5,000 overnight, but I know that that is not like God. Oftentimes when God does something, he likes for things to go in the oven, and he likes for them to cook in proportion, and he allows for it to take time, and we have to have patience for it to get to where it should be. Whatever God is doing in your life, he's asking for you to be patient. Those that wait upon the Lord. Be patient, church. Don't give up yet. I want to challenge every one of you today. Can I challenge you, church? We might not, as a church, have all the bell and whistles. But if you wait patiently, God is doing something huge in this church. The first thing I want you to see, and I want you to hold on to it, guys, is that there's a move of the Spirit in this house. You know how I know? Because I can point at people and tell them to stand, and they can testify about the goodness of God in their life. I want you to keep the vision. Keep envisioning. Listen, keep envisioning God doing something greater. Don't ever envision this church as dying, but envision this church as alive. The people who remained here before we came here, they had in their mind, they envisioned this church back on track. They envisioned this church moving. They envisioned this church being vital in the city of Blair. And I promise you today, because of what they envisioned, we now see some parts of what God is doing. Joseph endured afflictions, and with fortitude, he looked forward to the clearing of his slandered character. He looked forward to his dream becoming a reality. Joseph did not fully understand what it would take in order for his dreams to come to pass, nor did he fully know how long it would take, but he envisioned a time that he would rule over his family. Genesis 50 and 20, will you turn there? Genesis 50 and 20. He didn't understand. He didn't know when this was going to happen. But he said it. Man, one of these days, man, you guys are going to bow to me. They didn't like it. Not everybody can see what you see. Not everybody care to hear what you got to say. That's why some things you just have to keep committing to prayer. If God is telling you to do something, don't be weary in well-doing, because in due season you'll reap a harvest if you faint not. Some of us have children that are lost. Some of us have this or that going on in our life. Our health is not where it should be. But if we keep envisioning in our mind, listen, like the psalmist said, that one day that I would be in the land of the living, but right now I am in bondage. I am an exile, but one day I'm going to see freedom. One day I'm going to walk around free in my homeland once again. I know that I'm hundreds and even thousands of miles from there, but one day my God said that he is going to deliver us, and I know that he is going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. Can I get an amen? What are you dreaming about? What are you envisioning? What is God saying to you, church? What is God saying to you about you? You need to dream again. You need to desire again. You need to hope again. Listen to what Joseph said in Genesis 50 and 20. I would have been afraid if I were his brothers too. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. In other words, God did not create these obstacles for Joseph, but he used these obstacles to refine within him the ability to lead his people. Did you hear what I said? God could take a mess and turn it into a test and bring you out of it victorious, better off than you were when you went through. I am a living witness. I have seen the hand of God on my life. And now hindsight is 20/20. I can dance about it now. I can sing about it now. But when I was going through it, it was a hard time in my life. But I kept getting words from God telling me to be faithful, that God's hand is on my life. And time after time, when man says no, I reminded myself of when God said yes. And that if I hold on, if I remain faithful, if I endure, if I don't quit, if I don't give up, if I don't give in, the very thing that God said back then, he's going to bring it to the here and now. And time after time, he's going to continue to do that in your life when you remain faithful. Until we are willing, you need to write this down if you're taking notes. Until we are willing to face adversity, we will never fully tap into our full potential in God. Hello? You can't be the best sports player if you're not willing to go through hard training. It doesn't make sense in anything. Why do we think it's going to make sense now in the kingdom of God? Why do we think God is just going to allow us to go from here and from A to D and skip B and C? Because he knows that if he allows you to go from here to here, you won't know how to treat people here. So he allows you to go through C and B and C, give you a little slap here and there, a little fall, a little bumping of the head here and there, so that you can appreciate everything over here. We want to see a move of God. But listen, we need some more broken and hurting people to come inside of the house of God. We need some people to hurt us a little bit and reject us a little bit and let us down a little bit so we can gain some tougher skin so that we can be the leaders that God has called us to be. Listen, when you got tough skin, you don't care what anybody got to say. When you got tough skin, you don't get your feelings hurt as easy as you used to. You're not going to be afraid anymore. You'll walk up in the grocery store and share the goodness of Jesus Christ, and you don't care who's standing around. Right now, we're not tough. Right now, we're worried about what people might think. Ooh, I can't say that. They don't like Jesus. So I'm going to respect them. They don't like Jesus, I'm mad about it. Many of us envision a healthy ministry and a successful life. But when we're faced with resistance, we tend to give up. Joseph didn't give up. No, he kept fighting. He kept believing until his dreams became a reality. Despised by his brothers, sold into slavery by them and wrongly cast into prison. And Joseph, he didn't grow angry and resentful. Many of us, man, when we're faced with opposition, man, the first thing we do, man, we become resentful, don't we? It hurts. How many want to be hurt all the time? Been lied on so many times, guys. Every time that I've gone home after being falsely accused or something or told this or that, my wife would be there to tell me the opposite. Sometimes when you can't envision, when you don't dream anymore, those that truly have your back start to dream for you. Amen. Shh. If we were on a battlefield right now, and we were in the heat of the battle, when I felt like life, man, was about to end, I didn't want to fight anymore, when I had way too many wounds to bandage, I want somebody fighting beside me that would shake me every now and then and tell me that we're going to get out of this and we're going to do it together. We need a church that dreams together. Do you hear me? We need a church that dreams together. It's time out for all this fly by night. I'll attend here for a little while. I'll be a participant for a little while. It's time to give our lives to the things of God. It's time to give our lives to a place, a people, a city. It's time to be dedicated. It's time to dream again. A dream, in order for it to come to fruition, it takes time. You can't build a house overnight. Takes months and even years. Our presbyter right now has been planning to build his house, seemed like forever, he said. And they're just now starting to get some of that accomplished. Joseph. This is what he said. As for you, you meant it. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. To bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. In Genesis 50 and 20, and in Luke 10 and 2, we see that God is in control in both of those passages of Scripture. What I want you to grab out of that is that God is the one that determines the time of the harvest in Luke 10 and 2. God is the one that appoints the laborers for the harvest. God guards the success of the harvest. That scared me when I really just got my head around it. Because God is in control. If God gave Joseph the dream, God is the one that has given you the dream. The harvest is plentiful. There are people from every walk of life, broken, wounded, hurting, and in need of the love of God. But there are few who are willing to share the gospel message with these individuals. Many want a seat in the house of God and an audience in the presence of God's children. But few desire to eat at the house of Zacchaeus. Do you hear me? Are you envisioning Zacchaeus right now? Or do you just want to eat at the house of some favorite prominent person? It's quiet in here this morning. I'm challenging you, huh? Many want to take the scenic route around the city, but very few of us want to go through Samaria and visit with the lady at the well. Shame of her. She's not respectful. I'm not going to talk to that alcoholic because, man, he has a bad name in the community. I'm not going to talk to that shady businessman because several people in the church, I heard them whispering about him over in the corner last Sunday. I'm not going to talk to that young lady that I know is sleeping around with men in the community. Because if I do that, they'll think that I'm friends with her. I'm not going to talk to that young man that has the swear words on the back of his truck. Because if I talk to him, they think I might want to associate myself with him. I promise you today, we need to envision those individuals and envision that they need Jesus. And we need to be the voice of God and the hands of God and the feet of God and touch their lives with the gospel. At some point, we have to move past the blueprint and actually build the house. At some point, we have to be willing to get our hands dirty in the kingdom of God. When envisioning plant, I want you to envision with me for a moment planting a tree, a flower, or a bush. When most of us envision that, we go from point A to point D. We envision the seed, and then we envision the flower. How many of us envision digging in the ground, digging the holes, pulling up the weed from away from around the ground, softening the soil, getting all the rocks out, doing all the hard work, the stuff that nobody really wants to do, the things that nobody really desires to do? Who dreams about those things? I wonder if God would really show us the in-between stuff. Would we be so adamant about doing what God has called us to do? Everybody wants the flower. Everybody wants the prominent position in the kingdom of God. Everybody wants the high place. Nobody wants the low place. But I promise you, it's in the low place is where the power comes. Amen. Look around. Some empty seats in the house. I'm not intimidated anymore. Last several years of my life in ministry, I'm not intimidated because I know that powerful things happen in small settings. I know this is the time where God raised people up and called people out. Listen, God never moves amongst the large crowds. God moves in individuals. And God is wanting to move in your heart today. God is wanting to move in your life today. And God is wanting you to do something bigger than you've ever done in your life before. Will you please stand today? And we're going to get ready to dismiss you. Taking the initiative means the power or ability to begin or to follow through energetically with the plan or task, enterprise or determination. Habakkuk 2, verses 1 through 2, I would stand at my watch and station myself on the tower, and I would keep watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am reproved. The just shall live by faith. In verse 2, he says, and the Lord answered me, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he who reads it may run. What is vision? Vision is a discovery of God's plan as it relates to your life. We need to see the vision, and we need to take the vision in our hearts, what God is doing in our life, what God is doing in our church, what God is doing in this world. There's only one vision today that we need to grab a hold of, and that is the vision of God, God's plan for humanity. Vision is also foresight and insight. Vision means beginning a thing with the end in mind. What is your vision? What is God doing for you? What is God doing in your life? The Bible says in Proverbs 29 and 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law is happy, happy is he. When there is no clear vision, an inspired vision for following God's plans, and no bold teaching of God's purposes and standards, God's people are likely to lose their spiritual passion and conviction. And we wonder why there's so much apathy in churches today. Because God's people are losing their vision. We're losing the idea, the thought of what this is all about, and why we were born again, and why God delivered us, and why God set us free. Matthew 25, 14 through 18 talks about those who were given talents. One was given five, he doubled it. One was given two, he doubled it. And one was given one, he buried it. I dare to say that every one of those who were given the talents, it didn't belong to them, did it? It was given to them by the master. But I dare to say also that every one of them who were given a talent began to dream about what to do with that, and they put it to good use. Except for that one, he buried it. Don't bury your talent. Don't allow the enemy of your soul to cause you not to dream, cause you not to desire. Stop it, guys. Stop believing the lie of the devil. I'm not trying to build my kingdom. This is not my church. This is God's church. You're God's people. Stop allowing the devil to tell you, oh, he just wanna pack out the house so it can make him look good. Who cares? I paid thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to go to seminary. Do you think I went to seminary just to be going? I could have put that money somewhere else. In a place where you wouldn't judge me. The reason why I want to see this house built, God's people can be empowered. world around them. Guys, listen. It's time that we envision, grab a hold of what God is doing in this church, in our lives. Let's get our focus on building the kingdom of God, winning people to Jesus. Get our minds wrapped around God. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to participate? God, how can I connect? God, I feel drawn to that church. I want to be a part of what they're doing. Stop waiting on the fringe. Get connected. Be head over heels in love with what God is doing. Sell yourself out for the things of God. We sell out for everything else. How come we can't sell out for God? Father, we ask you in Jesus' name, God, the work that you have started, we know that you're going to finish it. God, I know that you're with us all week long. God, speak to our hearts, encourage our hearts, God, as we move forward in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Living Hope Assembly of God.